broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, October the 21st, 2022. 10:21:22, 14 minutes past the hour, and we have got a great morning of programming for you here on WGH Talk this morning. We're going to be joined by our first guest momentarily. Following that, we have the pastor spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 9:10 a.m. this morning. At 10 a.m. this morning, we have a special guest as well. Hope you will stick around for that. Linda Sims should be joining us at 11:15 this morning through 1 o'clock, and I believe, from what I've been told, that Abby will be joining us from 12:15 to 1 today, and we will wrap up the long, long drama of competition and have a resolution, I guess is the best way to say it, to the push-up. We can't call it a competition, but the push-up episode from 2 weeks ago now, I think it was. Maybe 3 weeks ago now. So it'll all come to a head this morning, so stay tuned for that here on WGH Talk. I also want to thank all the people who are new listeners to the station. We love hearing from them, and we'll go through that list later on, as well as people who have entered, the fruitcake toss this coming December. And as we switch gears here this morning, we're going to turn to our first guest. She is a first-time visitor to this program, but what an interesting story she has that has pieces of Ohio in it and pieces of Nashville, Tennessee. She is calling us this morning from the country music capital of the world, Nashville, Tennessee, and there's a very important reason for that, because she is a vocalist performer in Nashville and other places around the country. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones for the first time, but hopefully not the last, with her story and some music this morning. So get ready for this over your breakfast table. Rose Angelica. Rose, how are you?
Great, Scott. How are you doing this morning? Good morning, Ohio.
Yeah, how are things in Nashville this morning?
Well, things are gearing up for the Big Josie Music Awards. They're happening Sunday night at the Grand Ole Opry, and I'm involved in that. I'm nominated for 2 awards, and the Josies are the biggest independent country music awards in the world. And we have thousands of people in town, and there's a lot of excitement happening, and live music and shows everywhere.
Now, for people who are not highly involved in the music industry, what would be the difference between a CMA Awards and an independent music award show?
CMA is basically we call it the A-team. That's going to be people that are on the major labels, Curb Records, RCA, Columbia, all the A-players. The independent awards are basically mostly to songwriters like myself that write for people like that, and also the travel and play and pitch our music.
Now, this event will be at the Grand Ole Opry. Now, is this the Grand Ole Opry or the Ryman Auditorium?
It's at the Grand Ole Opry, the new Opry House.
The new Opry House out by the mall.
Yes.
What does it mean to you to be in that building? Because I've been to Nashville, and I've been to the Grand Ole Opry, and it is like a shrine for most people out there.
It is a shrine. And my entire life I wanted to play at the Opry, so it took me 68 years to get there, and I'm finally there Sunday night. I just can't even believe it.
Sunday night you will perform at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes, and we have the big awards show, so I'm hoping maybe to win one award. I won one Josie Award in 2018. I was awarded the Female Traditional Country Music Entertainer of the Year.
Now, this year, performing on the stage, you say it took you over 60 years to get there. We're about 48 hours away from it. The closer we get, how does that feel?
It's pretty nerve-wracking, I'll tell you this. Just to stand in the circle where the greats like Hank Williams stood, and Patsy Cline, and Johnny Cash, and it's just unbelievable. They took the circle from the Ryman, which was the first Opry downtown, and cut it out of the floor and moved it to the new Opry House when they built it. So that's the actual wood circle that they stood on in back of the microphone that said WSM Radio.
What is it about the Grand Ole Opry that has such a special feel? The only other music venue I can think that would even compare may be the Apollo Theater in New York. What is it about the Grand Ole Opry?
The Grand Ole Opry's claim to fame is they were the first live radio show ever in the United States that was live on the air from a major venue like Nashville. And it started out at a different location, and then they moved it to Nashville. And that is very big because, you know, radio was so different back in the day. They had a lot of shows on, you know, like The Shadow and The Lone Ranger in the 50s. But this was way before that. This was, you know, in the late 30s, 40s. So it's very historic, very historic. It put us to where we are today.
Now, it's my understanding, and that show still is on Saturday nights, the radio broadcast of the Grand Ole Opry, and I believe it's also now televised on the Circle Channel on broadcast television, but they have not missed Saturday night, even during the pandemic, is that correct?
Right, during the pandemic, they just didn't have any live audience in there. They had the performers go in and videotaped it and put it on the air on Circle and also on the radio, but there was no audience. So yeah, they just kept it going. They never stopped.
Now, Rose, your story's kind of interesting, and it has an Ohio tie to it. Kind of start out your childhood and how you got involved to be a country music performer writer.
Okay, well, my childhood goes back to the 50s, of course. I was a 50s child. I lived on a farm in a little town called Smithfield, Ohio, which was in Jefferson County, right outside of Steubenville. And I listened to WWBA radio every Saturday night, which was out of Wheeling, West Virginia. And that was the biggest show, live show, next to the Grand Ole Opry. 1170 AM was the call letters, and it was a live country music show that brought the Opry stars from Nashville every Saturday night. And it was a big deal. And I listened to that live on the radio as a kid growing up and listened to a lot of country music. Most farm kids did. You know, we were 4-H and we were into that kind of stuff. And I liked all the traditional old stars, you know, and I started playing guitar at 5, started picking around by ear. And my parents realized I had a little musical talent because I had no training and I'm playing little songs on the guitar. You know, and they're like, wow, how'd you do that? I don't know. So, you know, when it came to fifth grade, I wanted to start in the band, so I played the trumpet, and which led me all through high school and many contests and awards and so forth, and then it entered me into the Ohio State University on a music scholarship, and I was a trumpet major, and was in the Ohio State University marching band, which I'm still a member of the alumni band, which is still, no matter what I accomplish in my life, that was, to me, my greatest accomplishment. Because to get in that band in the 70s as a woman was not easy. I came in right at the beginning. They switched in 1973 because of Title IX and let women try out for the first time. So, you know, I tried out in 74 to 73. I didn't even know women could come in yet. I was a freshman. Tried out in 74, got in 74, 75, 76, graduated in 77, told my dad I really want to go to Nashville. Well, I had a job offer to be a band director because that's what I went to school for. He goes, listen, you got a job, you got a paycheck, why do you want to go down there? You may never make it. You may be starving on the street like all these starving artists. I go, okay, Dad, I'll listen. You know, so I listened to him and I thought. And I went back to Ohio State, got a master's in music, was a TA with the band in 1984, and went back and taught high school till I retired. I got my 25 years in. They had a big buyout. I took that, started teaching some college in the area, and kept writing music all this time since I was a kid and just put it in a suitcase. I played in bands and did different things too, but nothing professional on that level. And just kept shelving it. You know, I had all this music. So finally, in 2010, my mother passed away, and I told my husband, I go, listen, all my life I wanted to go to Nashville. I'm retired now. You know, I'm going to go because I wrote some good music, I think, and I think it's worthy. He goes, fine, let's do it. So I I put something out there, and I had five companies contact me, recording studios that were interested in my work. So I first signed with Lamond Records, which was in business 50 years, because they were gospel radio type thing, and they wanted to go mainstream and go into country music and some other things and rock and stuff. So I signed with them, and I was with them for 7 years and had a couple hits and was getting my foot in the door. They really got my foot in the door in Nashville, and I met a lot of people and a lot of famous people. And then I moved on to Century 2 Records with some great old Opry artists like Jim Ed Brown and Bobby G. Rice, and just some great people were on that label that were big stars, and they really opened a lot of doors for me by being on that. And then now I'm on a label called Big Bear Creek Records that Donna Cunningham and myself started. So we have our own label now, and we have 20 artists under us. So I've been in the music business from being a student in music all the way to being a producer, a record label owner, a CEO, and an entertainer and a music writer. So I'm doing it all. It's crazy.
You know, it's very interesting, Rose, because this question comes up for a lot of people. The conversation you had with your father way back when. Do you take the safe job that will pay you well, and you will have money and food on the table and have a car and a steady job, or do you go the route that you really want to go, that your heart is telling you to go toward, where you may, not have enough money to have a hotel room that night?
Right.
Do you regret that decision way back then? It turned out okay, but looking back, do you regret it?
No, I don't, because I probably would have never met my husband and had a good family, and probably would have never met the people I did along the way, because I love teaching. Believe me, I love teaching. I love the students that I had, the people I worked with. It was just a great time to teach when I taught, and I'll never regret that, and I'll never regret going back to Ohio State and getting my master's. I mean, it was just such a great experience, and I loved it. And, no, I'd say no. I think it was good advice, because after coming to Nashville now, after retirement, and having a nest egg and having a paycheck and not worrying about, playing a gig and being able to eat, it's like gravy now. It's all good, To make a living at it is really tough.
If a 25-year-old kid approached you now and said, I have a dream doing whatever, I want to do it, it's not a secure dream, or I have this job that somebody's offering me that is secure, what advice would you give them?
I'd say if you can do both, do it. Don't do just one. I have a good friend down here who's from Ohio, who's a big star. You might have heard of her. Her name's Lauren Machetti. She was on American Idol and everything. And she went to school to be a nurse. She's a nurse down here by day, but by night she's a country star big time. She's going to make it big time. She's a beautiful girl, and she's doing it the right way. You keep the day job, and you push it at night. And that's what you need to do, because I'll tell you what, they said 150 people move to Nashville a day, and there's 1,000 of them on the street a day. That's how bad it is. People come here with a dream thinking they can make it, and they find out that they're just another number, and they're living on the street, literally. It is sad.
What is the key to making it? What do you have to have?
Today, to make it, you have to have backing. You have to have money behind you. You just can't walk in the studio like Hank Williams and sit down and play your songs on a chair and be signed with Acuff Rose Publications. That does not happen. You have to have sponsorship. You have to have a great look. You have to be, I'd say, pretty young. I mean, they're looking for, my vision is, what I see is all the girls are blonde. They're all 25. They're all beautiful. They could be movie stars, and that's what Nashville's about now. It's more the look. It's more the look and the image than the talent. Believe me, it's not the way it used to be.
Well, and that's kind of interesting, because when you were growing up on country music, and when a lot of people grew up on country music, it was Hank Williams, it was Loretta Lynn, it was Tammy Wynette. Now, not that these were not good-looking people, but, you know, they were brunettes, they did not dress provocatively, Clark and Buck Owens, people like this. And when did you see that change happen?
Well, Well, that was pure talent with those people. I mean, like Loretta, you know, Elvis, they were all really poor kids. They had nothing, but they had all the talent in the world, all the talent, and that's the difference. Now it's more of a Hollywood thing down here. The new Nashville, you know, the music's changed. The old school people that I work with, the old songwriters that have written for everybody for years, I mean, they're just so disgusted because they said the country music is gone. It's not country anymore. It's, you know, whatever. It's rock, it's pop, it's rap. I mean, they're doing everything. They've changed everything here. And the look, too, like I said, the people coming in, it's all about image, just like Hollywood. It's like, you know, what you look like, basically. And that's what I see. I mean, you know, I'm a big, big, big star. The new kids coming up, that's how it is. It's all about the image more than the talent.
Being a woman in her 60s, after what you just said, how does that affect your career?
Well, I'm in the traditional country music realm with the old school people, and I'm doing great because, see, they have traditional country radio down here, and they have the current country radio. So I'm on the traditional country, like, you know, Willie's Roadhouse, those shows that play the old school stuff, Johnny Cash, you know, the Highwayman, Willie, Waylon, and that's where I'm at. And I'm happy to be there because those guys are my idols, and that's where I want to be, really. So, you know, I do a lot of songs for traditional stars that still record. You know, Jeannie Seeley's still out there recording. She's 80-some years old. I mean, there's people that, Bill Anderson, there's people out there that are still doing what they always did and still making a good living at it and touring and everything, and they're looking for songs. So, you know, I'm in that. That's where I'm at. That's where I pitch.
We recently, of course, learned of the death and heard of the death of Loretta Lynn. Could a Loretta Lynn, a poor girl, coal miner's daughter, happen today the way Nashville is set up?
I'd say no. No. I don't think she would have a chance. Neither would Patsy. Neither would any of the greats. I don't think so. No.
What happened to our world that happened? Because, you know, so many of these great singers, performers, I mean, when Loretta Lynn died, you know, that was like the queen of country that everybody looked up to. And now, if she was a kid starting out, she wouldn't even get in the door. What changed that?
The sound, as the years went on, the sound of country music totally changed, and it evolved, in other words. Just like rock and roll evolved, like the 50s. I mean, I loved, you know, Elvis, Jerry Lee, the Comets, and now that sound is, you know, no longer exists, right? Just on oldies tours. Music has evolved all the way across the charts, that's what's changed.
You know, Rose, I remember it was kind of interesting, and this was not even in the internet age. I remember when the new, I think CMT, which for people who don't remember, country music television, used to play music videos. And when that cable station first came about, it was really the first time that country music videos were on television a lot. They were on almost 24 hours. And this new wave of country music came in, Garth Brooks, Travis Tritt, Reba McEntire, and they became the stars. And even in those days, people like Loretta Lynn and Roy Clark and Buck Owens and Johnny Cash were not that old. You know, they were 50s, 60s, but they couldn't get played on country radio.
Nope. And Loretta didn't even get played until she died. Now they're playing her everywhere, right? And that's what they're talking about down here on Nashville TV. They said you have to die to get played on the radio now.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
It's sad. It's really sad, you know, when you think about it. So that's why those stars kept touring. You know, that was their paycheck, because they weren't making it in radio anymore. They weren't getting residuals for their music, so they have to go out and beat the pavement.
What is the theory as to why, when she was alive, because Loretta Lynn was pretty well making music right up till she died, why couldn't you, I mean, a song is usually 3 to 4 minutes. Why couldn't you drop a 3 to 4 minute song in the middle of maybe Carrie Underwood and Taylor Swift? What would be the problem with that? Why would that hurt country music?
Well, it's like I said, the styles have changed so much, and they just don't match anymore. It's a totally different thing. That's why they've changed the category to traditional country and country. You know, it's just two totally different things. The radio stations don't play each other's stuff. I mean, it's just it's a whole changed world. Most people back home in Ohio say listen to country radio, don't even know there's a traditional country division, that we have our own stations, that we do our own thing. You know, because they don't have it, right? It's limited to where you can pick it up. It's all over the internet, of course. You can get it on the internet. But like Willie's Roadhouse on Sirius Satellite, thank God for Willie, because he's playing all the old country stars and he keeps it going. He's really done a great job with that, to bring the music back, because we have a lot of new fans now. You know, younger kids that like it.
You know, it is very interesting that when you hear of a country radio station, say here in Ohio, and there are a lot of stations that have that handle, country radio stations, they are only playing things that were done in the last 3 to 5 years, and there's right. This whole songbook, just the 70s, let's say, a lot of great Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton at her stride and Loretta Lynn. Right. None of that ever gets played.
No, and look at Dolly, how big she is. I mean, she has done so much and has done so much good and so famous, and her songs aren't even on the radio. I mean, how bad is that?
Well, you know, that's Dolly Parton is an interesting case, because really in country music right now, nobody could be a bigger star. What she's done for reading, what she's done with her money, what she has done with her music. Other people sing her song. I think the most famous example would have been Whitney Houston singing her song in The Bodyguard. And yet, I don't even know if people associate her with music anymore. She was a movie star.
Right. Dolly's done it all, man. Another story came from, she came from very poor beginnings. She had nothing. And just with her talent and her creativity, the songs that she wrote just went crazy, just blew up. And she is the nicest person you ever want to meet. I'm telling you, she is just down to earth and nice as pie. Her and her husband travel around the country in a motorhome. That's how they vacation. And they just hang with the locals, you know.
Who's the most famous person you ever met? Who starstruck you the most?
Oh, my good friend that we partied together and got along great was Mickey Gillihan. I just lost him this May. He just passed away. We were buddies. He'd call me and just joke around and laugh. And I talked to him maybe 2 weeks before he died. He called me. He was out in Laughlin, Nevada, playing at the Riverside Casino where I play often, and he goes, Rose, I'm playing on your stage, you know, and he was laughing and sending me pictures and carrying on, and, you know, I just love Mickey. He was so, he welcomed me with open arms. It was amazing. When I first got into the business in 2011, I had my first hit, and he was one of the first guys to come up and said, man, that's a great song, you know, I love your singing, I love what you're writing, you know, you have a lot of talent. I mean, he just welcomed me into the realm like I was his best friend for 50 years. That's how he was.
Want to talk about songwriting. How do you get an idea, and how do you transfer that into a song?
Well, it's a lot of different things. A lot of songs I write about are about my own life. A lot of songs are about people I know. A lot of songs are about causes. I had people come to me and say, hey, we have this big autism event. Can you write a song for it? Yeah, I'll write one. And I did, because I know a boy in Ohio, and Warren is severely autistic, so I wrote a song about him. I wrote a song. I had somebody approach me and say, hey, we need a song for adoption. So I came up with this Christmas song called The Wish. That was really my first big hit in Nashville. I wrote it in 2010, and it broke open, and that really opened up my career. And that was a song about a child's prayer to be adopted at Christmas time. And that still plays on Nashville radio and all over the country at Christmas time, big time, you know. And then my dad, of course, was a farmer his whole life. And a couple years ago, they had Farm Aid. Willie had Farm Aid. They did it virtually because of COVID, right, for 2 years. So he was looking for songs. So I wrote a song called Thank a Farmer based on my dad. And it's like a kiddie song, but not, you know, it's about farming, but it would really relate to kids and the 4-H. So the 4-H back home in Jefferson County wanted to use it for the county fair that year, because I had it on the radio there, local radio. And I said, yeah, great. And they said, well, we want to make this video of all the kids with their animals at the fair. Can we use your song? I was like, absolutely, you can use it. So it became a big deal. So then somebody sent it online and one thing another. And then Farm Aid saw it and they said, hey, can we play it on our Farm Aid video show because it's virtual? I go, absolutely. So it made it all the way to Farm Aid.
Mm.
Pretty big, you know.
Well,
so I was real happy about that.
When you write a song and it's done and it's finished and it's ready to be recorded, before the public hears it, do you know that it's going to be popular? From one, you say, well, I like that one, but this one has really got it. Do you know it before the public hears it?
Yeah, I'd say yes. Because when I write, I mean, I really know a song's going to take off. I mean, I sort of know what people like. And, I mean, if you see my demographics of the songs that I write and play, I mean, my audience is probably 35 and up, you know, and I get demographics sometimes from different areas. Sometimes they're 40 and up. I mean, it's never the young country kids. It's the older people. So I know what older people like, and that music, you know, they really enjoy it. It appeals to them. So, yeah, I know when a song's going to take off. I got three or four songs out that are like big line dance hits, and people love to line dance to them. And, you know, it's that age bracket that I write to, and that's who I write to.
When you look back at your life and career and the things you've done now, do you have any regrets at all?
No, I really can't say I do. I can't say I have any regrets. I've had a real exciting life. I met some really famous people. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, you know, I idolized Hank Williams and Patsy, but also, you know, I was from Steubenville, Ohio area, and Dean Martin was from there. I love Dean Martin. I've known some of his family my entire life. So, you know, Dino was always a big idol of mine, and he loves country music. He sang country music on his show the last 10 years it was on. That's all he sang.
Mm. You know, I think about the internet now, and radio is radio, but there are so many streaming stations. There's YouTube, there are podcasts. How important is the internet to country music or any type of music as opposed to terrestrial radio at this point?
The internet is huge for me. That's how I got famous. The internet, people discovered my music and went to you know, Amazon and iTunes and started buying my songs and because they liked them. And the internet was everything for me. It made me famous. It really did. I can't say enough good about it.
If there had just been radio and no internet, do you think you would have taken off?
No, definitely not.
You know,
there's not enough traditional stations on radio.
Well, you know, it's funny, and it's just a sidetrack here, but being in radio for 20 years, as I have been, it's fascinating to me that if you would have went to a terrestrial local radio station, which maybe had a reach of you know, four or five counties, and you would have said, hey, listen, we can put you on the air anywhere in the world, which essentially is what the internet has done, they would have jumped at it, but because it's got that internet title to it, there are people who are still leery of it.
Yeah, I understand that, but I tell you what, my music plays worldwide. I have fans in Germany and England. I've been offered tours over there. You can't believe how big the music is over there. South Africa, I have people waiting to meet from all over the world.
Absolutely. Well, we've got 18 minutes, and we're going to talk to Rose Angelica some more here, but it is early there in Nashville. But to get the feel of the types of things she does, and the reason I wanted to do this is because Grand Ole Opry and country music has been famous for not, you know, big shows or lighting effects or things like that. There is some of that, but the Grand Ole Opry is get on the stage with your guitar and sing your song, and Rose has agreed to do some songs here for us this morning live on the radio, and they used to do this on radio quite a bit. So live from Nashville, Tennessee, we have Rose Angelica here. Rose, tell us what you're going to sing and then give us a tune.
Well, I'm going to sing one of my first big hits that I ever had in Nashville. I wrote this song in 1975 at Ohio State, so all my friends know this, especially from the marching band, my girlfriend. And I didn't record it till 2011. And it was a huge hit, and it made a resurgence this summer. It was back out there, and it's called Girls Just Want to Drink Beer. And it's a great fly dance song, and here it goes. Many men have been in my life. Sometimes they call me to cut and fight. When I go out on the town for some cheer, leave me alone, I just don't want to drink beer. That's right. We go out on ladies' night, kill some jerk asks us for life. Hey boy, why don't you get out of here and leave us alone, we just want to drink beer. Leave us alone, we just don't want to drink beer. The taste we love in those bubbles so dear. My mama warned me that trouble was near. Hey, all us girls, we just don't want to drink beer. Married life has got me down till my husband goes out of town. Yeah, baby. Hey, girls, come over. Grumpy's out of here. And leave us alone. We just want to drink beer. Leave us alone. We just don't want to drink beer. The taste we love in those bubbles so dear. My mama warned me that trouble was near. Hey, all us girls, we just don't want to drink beer. Friday night when work is done, I stop at the bar before I go home. Hey Joe, throw a cold one over here. And leave me alone, I just want to drink beer. Leave us alone, we just don't want to drink beer. The taste we love in those bubbles so deep. My mama warned me that trouble was near. Hey, all us girls, we just don't want to drink beer. I say all us girls, we just don't want to drink beer. Drink it up.
That is a great song. Rose Angelica is the performer from Nashville, Tennessee this morning. Going to be at the Grand Ole Opry on Sunday at a big awards presentation there at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. Where did that song come from, Rose?
That song is basically from my life. We were at Ohio State in college, and me and my girlfriends on Saturday night would go to Papa Joe's and drink beer. And they said buckets of beer for $5. And back then it was 3-2 beer because we were 18, 19, 20. You know, you could drink at 18. So 3-2 means lesser percent than, you know, high-test beer. So we used to go there and drink buckets of beer. And the guys would come over, to, you know, our friends, and try to hang out with us. And we're like, leave us alone. We just want to drink beer. That's where that comes from.
You know, it's interesting. If I had not heard anything and had not done any homework for this interview, if I just heard that song, I would say that's country music. That is a hit song. The sound is there. It just sounds good.
Yeah, it was a big hit for me. And, you know, I'm on, all you got to say is Amazon Alexa plays Rose Angelica music and all my songs will come up. And that was like the first song that will pop up. With the full, you know, orchestration and the music behind it, it's really a good song. It is.
Now, there also, I believe, when I was looking, there is a music video on YouTube for that video, that song.
Yeah, and that was filmed back in Steubenville, my hometown, at my buddy's bar called the Spot Bar. That's where that was.
Oh, really?
That was all my friends in that video.
Done right here in Steubenville, Ohio.
Yeah, my producer from Nashville says, where do you want to shoot it in Nashville? I go, no, man, I want to shoot it in Steubenville. I want my friends to be in it. Because that was my first big hit. So him and the crew took the truck from Nashville all the way to Ohio and filmed that.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. 48 minutes past the hour here. We want to hear another song here. Rose, give us another song.
All right, I'm going to do Thank the Farmer. This is dedicated to my dad. I know there's a lot of farmers out there in Marion, Ohio, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So I hope they like this song. He gets up at the crack of dawn, puts in a 12-hour day. He loves the land, he works the field, he feeds the USA. He grows crops and milks the cows, and when the day is through, he thanks God for what he's got, and his friends like me and you. When you drink a glass of milk, thank the farmer. When you eat a potato chip, thank the farmer. Well, he works real hard, his days are long, to feed us all so we can grow strong. And I just like to sing this song and thank the farmer. Thank the farmer. Well, a John Deere tractor is in his yard, a hay wagon or two. There's a baler and a combine, and a farm dog named Old Blue. Well, he raises cows and pigs and chickens to feed this great big land. He loves his wife and kids and trucks. Well, he's the perfect man. When you drink a glass of milk, thank the farmer. When you eat a potato chip, thank the farmer. Well, he works real hard, his days are long, to feed us all so we can grow strong. And I just like to sing this song to thank the farmer. Thank the farmer. Thank the farmer.
Beautiful. Rose Angelica here performing live on WGH Talk on this Friday morning, and Sunday she will be making her first appearance on stage at the Grand Ole Opry, which has been a lifelong dream, 60 plus years in the making. What a pleasure it is. We're going to have Rose sing another song here. We've got about 9 minutes left. But Rose, at this age and stage in your life, what do you want to accomplish? What is the goal before you leave this planet?
Well, my goal is to write a song that a big star would record, to make one big mega hit record if I could. Of course, at my age, I'm having some arthritis issues, so some days my hands don't want to work to play the guitar like they used to. And we were talking about that last night, a bunch of us. And so, I mean, that's my dream. I wanted to come to Nashville, write a mega hit for somebody, anybody, I don't care, and, you know, have it out there. And that is still my goal.
Now, B, you're in Nashville right now. Where do you spend most of your time? Do you still come back to Ohio?
Yeah, I was in Ohio for 3 months. I currently live in Florida. I'm on my way back to St. Petersburg, Florida. But I usually come back to Ohio in the summers, and I play the county fairs and places that are, you know, familiar to me and around, and see some old friends. But I live in St. Pete, Florida. I do a lot of playing in Florida and Georgia and Alabama, the southern states, in the winters. I'm playing at a big songwriters festival in D-Land, Florida, coming up here on November 5th. And that has like 22 stages and I don't know how many players. It's a big deal. So, you know, I'm pretty busy, but I am slowing down. I'm not, since COVID, I've really cut back. I'm not doing as much as I used to, you know. And I don't think any of us are. We're still not back full force.
Do you think we'll ever get there? Are you feeling that at the concerts and places you play? Do you think, because now we're hearing that this is going to be a shot every year like the flu shot, and we're really never going to be all the way over it.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to be back. I mean, I know a lot of people in my age bracket that just do not go to shows anymore, won't go with big crowds. Most of my shows I play outside. That's why I'm in Florida in the winter. I play a lot of stuff at the beach and outside amphitheaters, and I feel a lot safer there than playing in concert halls, I can tell you that, even myself.
You know, we talked earlier in the interview, Rose, about the crossroads in people's life. Do they take the chance, or do they take the safe option and go to work doing a job maybe they don't like as much as what their dream is? But you've also done something else in your life that's really amazing. Started a career when most people are past conventional retirement age. For all the people out there listening who say, I am too old to do this. I'm a grandmother now. I have done my career. I've done my 30 years in my job. Even though I would like to do it, I'm too old to do that now. What do you say to those people?
You're never too old. Never say never. You're never too old. Believe me.
Rose, we got about 6 minutes left here. Tell us the history of another song and give us another tune.
Okay, I would like to do The Wish. This is a big song I wrote for a child's prayer to be adopted at Christmas time. And since Christmas is coming, I'd like to do The Wish. This is my first big hit. I lie awake at night and then I pray for me to go on Christmas Day. Not a box or truck or candy cane, just a family to give me their name. Every boy and girl needs to be loved, the love that comes from heaven above. So God, if you can, please hear me. So I can bring a mommy and daddy to me. Won't you bring a mommy and daddy to me? I've been good, just like a good kid should be. I wish on all the stars up above for a mommy and daddy to love. Every boy and girl needs to be loved, the love that comes from heaven above. So God, if you can, please hear me. Won't you bring a mommy and daddy to me? Won't you bring a mommy and daddy to me? I've been good, just like a good kid should be. I wish on all the stars up above for a mommy and daddy to love.
What a great tune. Rose Angelica here on WGH Talk on this Getaway Friday morning, October 21st, 2022, 57 minutes past the hour. Rose will be performing at the Grand Ole Opry on Sunday evening. Rose, if people want to hear more of your music, how do they do it?
Hey, tell them to go to Amazon Alexa and say, Alexa, play Rose Angelica tunes. And I'm also on iTunes. I'm on all the music sites. And also, if you're in Nashville, this weekend, I'm also playing at the Nashville Palace tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Sounds great. And how many shows do you average a year during the pandemic times that we're in now?
I do one big festival a month, like coming here. I'm doing, like I said, Alabama. I try to do one big outdoor festival a month. That's what I'm doing. I play some little venues and parties in between, but the big stuff that the public can come to, I do one a month.
In the history of country music, what was your favorite song that somebody else did?
My favorite artist?
Yeah.
Oh, favorite artist was Johnny Cash. Oh my goodness, I saw him 15 times in concert.
What was the favorite song? Did you have a favorite song that he did?
Oh, Ring of Fire. Oh, wow, Ring of Fire was the best. June Carter wrote that for him, his wife, and I just loved that song. And I do it in my show, too.
You know, for all the good work you've done over the years, now country music, recording artist, performer, but all the work you did at Ohio State, how would you like to be remembered years from now when people hear one of your songs or one of your students thinks about you? What's most important to you?
Most important to me was I was a good person, I helped a lot of people, and I just love music.
Pursued her dreams late in life, and it's never too late. That's a great story. Rose Angelica this morning joining us live via telephone from Nashville, Tennessee, and again, she'll be performing at the Grand Ole Opry, a historic, hallowed ground place in Nashville, Tennessee. What a great story that dreams do come true and started right here in Ohio. Rose, thank you for joining us this morning. Stay well, and hopefully we catch up again.
Thank you, Scott, and go Bucks!
There we go. Rose Angelica, what an interview that was. Hey, live music. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green telling the funniest talk